and we're way down here. And there's a great disconnect between us and Him. And that's not the true picture at all. In fact, the Greek literally says, our Father in the heavens. And we talked about three heavens that the Bible talks about. We talked about heaven as the abode of God, that place where the throne of God is at. Where is that? We don't know. It's up there. I mean, that's all we know. Some people say it's a planet. Some people say it's a spiritual place. But it's a place that people go when they die, if they're saved. And then there is the atmospheric heavens, or the celestial heavens that have to do with the stars and the galaxies and the, you know, all of those kind of things. There's that heaven that the Bible talks about. And then there's the heaven around the earth, the heavens around the earth, where our atmosphere is at. And so what this prayer says, our Father who is in the heavens. Now that changes our perspective a little bit, because we see that our Father is not just somewhere on the throne in heaven, far, far away and disconnected from where we are at. And I think this is one of the things that Jesus wanted to people to see, is that He is not a distant God. He's a close God. Now, in the Jewish mind, God was distant, because they had the temple, they had the tabernacle, and when they were in the wilderness, where God was shut up in the Holy of Holies, and they had to do certain things. In fact, they never could approach the presence of God. Only the high priest could do that. But Jesus is bringing about a new way of thinking, that He wanted them to see the Father in a different way. In fact, the word Father was something that they did not use. And in our society, we see Father as a very formal term. In that society, they did not address God as Father at all. But He says, our Father who fills the heavens, or who is in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. And it talked about hallowing the name of God, about honoring the name of God, about obeying the name of God, or about obeying the things that God said to do. Today we're going to talk about the second phrase, which is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have said that this is a kingdom prayer. Two times the kingdom is mentioned in this prayer. In this phrase and in the end phrase, it talks about the kingdom. So this is a prayer about the kingdom. Now, one of the things I want us to look at, go with me today to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, if you've got your Bible. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 17, this was Jesus' first message. One of the first things that He preached when He began to come on in His ministry. In fact, John the Baptist had already preached this. But Jesus picked this up and He continued this. And He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Now, notice what He said here. And this is a word that we in the church world have really become hardened to, or in our minds, we think in one vein of thinking when we use this word, repent. What do you say to a guy who's in sin? You need to, everybody tell me, repent. You need to repent. And in our mind, the word repentance has to do with being sorry for your sins and telling God that you're sorry. And we call that repent. And I think it does include that, because we do need to change our lifestyles. We need to allow God to change our lifestyles. And part of that has to do with what we call repent. But that is a very limited view of that word repent. In fact, the Greek word repent means this. It's metanoeo. And nueo means the mind. the thought processes. And the ideal here is to change your mind. And when Jesus came in, he says, you need to change your mind for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of the heavens is at hand. He is announcing something. He says that if you're going to be involved with this, you're going to have to change the way that you think. Now, let me tell you something about what the word repent, the way that we use it. The only way that you can really change is to change the way that you think about something. Isn't that true? I mean, a year ago, I weighed 280 pounds. I started having some health problems. You know, for years, I love food. Anybody like food? I love food. I love to eat. And I'm thinking, you know, I need to lose weight. I need to, every year I think, you know, this year I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I ought to lose weight. I ought to go on a diet. And I knew what I needed to do, but guess what? I hadn't changed my thinking about food. And then all of a sudden, I started having health issues, and guess what? I had a change of mind. If I'm going to live, then I've got to change the way that I do things. I've seen people who have had health scares. And I know of several situations where people were smokers. And they're thinking, you know, I ought to quit. I ought to quit. I ought to quit. This is not good for me. I ought to quit. But they don't quit. And this rocks on for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, you have a big health scare. The doctor says you may have cancer. And you think, I got to change. And you know, and I have seen people do this. I have absolutely seen people do this. That they have struggled. Maybe they tried to quit. Maybe they quit for a month. Maybe they quit for a year and they went right back to it. But when this health scare came, they laid it down and they never touched it again. And they didn't struggle with it that much. You know why? Because it changed the way that they thought about that particular thing. And it's called repent. To have a change of mind. Not to mentally assent that something is true, but to have a change of mind. To change the way that you think about something. And Jesus, and that's just an illustration, but when Jesus came in, he says, you know what? And he was basically talking to the Jewish religion. He says, the kingdom of heaven, of the heavens, is at hand. Repent. Change the way that you think. Because if you don't change the way that you think, you're not going to participate in this. Now, the Jewish religion at that time, they thought that they had the market on the kingdom. In fact, I guess they did. If you got to God, you had to go through them. Sometimes we think like that too, don't we? If we're not careful. Our church is the best church. Our church, if you ever heard this preached, our church is the only church. Unless you're baptized in our waters, you can't go to heaven. I mean, it's the same. It's the same old stuff that recycles. But here is Jesus saying, guess what? The kingdom is of the heavens. It's not just heaven. It is of the heavens. And if you're going to participate in this kingdom, you're going to have to change the way that you think. See, God's design is to include people in His kingdom. Religion's design is to keep people out of the kingdom, to control the kingdom. And when men begin to set up institutions of religion, that's what they try to do. They try to control people. They try to control. You know, if they would love to have a franchise. Every group would love to have a franchise because they could control stuff. They could control people. They could control power. They could control influence. They could control money. But Jesus said, you know what? The kingdom of the heavens is bigger than your little group. The kingdom of heaven, of the heavens is not something designed to keep people out. It's designed to bring people in. And guess what? And here's what he didn't say, but this is where it's going. He says it's going to include people besides you Jews. Now they couldn't handle that. I mean, the Jewish religion considered anybody who wasn't Jewish as unclean. They had names for them. One of those names was dogs. Did you know Jesus called a woman a dog one time? He told the Syrophoenician woman, he said, it's not proper for us to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She was a Gentile. Jesus used that terminology. It's not proper for us to do that. She said, yeah, but Lord, even the dogs get the crumb from the master's table. And guess what? And he healed her right there. Jesus knew what the kingdom was about. The Jews thought the kingdom was about them. And they had control of the kingdom. And what we have a tendency to do is we muster up this political system within our religious institutions and we control the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, this is going to be something much bigger than that. You know, I remember a few years ago, remember when Pat Robertson ran for president? Remember that? I remember hearing some Christian people say, this is what God wants because he's going to come up and set his kingdom up through when Pat Robertson becomes president. Did you know that the Jews had that same mindset at that time? They believed that when Messiah would come, that he would take over the government and that he would set his kingdom up and he would rule. You remember right before the day of Pentecost, before Jesus ascended, he was sitting there talking to his disciples and he was talking to them about things to come. And he talked about a day and they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He says, it's not for you to know the days and the times, but you need to know this. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, he's saying, I had never intended to take over the government. Now, in the church world, sometimes we get caught up in this whole mindset. And I'm pretty political. I believe in voting. I believe in voting my Christian convictions. I believe in all of that kind of stuff. I'm not really into parties and all of that. But we have a lot of people think what we got to do as Christians is we need to take over the government and then we need to legislate. We need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of this. We need to institute this. And we need to institute this. We miss the whole deal because that's not what the kingdom is about. That's not what the kingdom is about. It's not about us as believers taking over the government and Jesus coming in to set up his kingdom. That's not what it's about. It's not about politics. It's not about anything like that. And Jesus said, if you're going to participate in this, then you're going to have a change of mind. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I want to read a scripture found in Luke 17 in verse 20. It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Wow. He's saying, my kingdom is not external. The kingdom in the earth. See, it's the kingdom of the heavens. Let me ask you, is the kingdom established in the heaven where the throne of God is? Absolutely. The will of God is done there. And the thing that we're supposed to pray is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is being done in heaven. Is it being done in the earth? No. Or else we shouldn't pray about that. But where is this kingdom in the earth at? Is it in the government? Has Obama got the answer? Do the Democrats have the answer? Do the Republicans have the answer? No. It's not coming. The kingdom is not coming through the United States of America. It's not coming through anybody's man-made government. That's the kingdoms of this world. That is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where? Within us. Now that blew their mind because they did not see God as in them. They saw God over here, shut up in this place over here, and they had to approach God. He says, you're going to have to change the way that you think, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And there's coming a time that the kingdom will come. And let me tell you when it came. It came on the day of Pentecost, where they were infused with the Holy Spirit, where Jesus lived on the inside of them. That's what happened. He told them one time, he said, you know, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he shall be in you. God prophesied about a time. He says, I'll live in them, and I'll walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. It's not something out here that we can control by legislation. It's not a thing out here that we can set up rules and laws and regulations. It's something that's of the heart on the inside that God guides us. And he says, when you pray about this, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, who am I praying about when I pray about that? Mainly, I'm praying about myself. If you go back to the Garden of Eden and you see the way that God set the order up, one of the things that he said about man, that he was going to give him authority and the dominion of the earth. He did that on purpose. See, we have a lot of fatalistic theology. That there's some people says, whatever happens in the world, it's God. Well, let's think about that. So if a man rapes a woman, then that's the will of God. And God did that. Everything that happens in the world is the will of God. And there are people who believe that. If I'm standing close to the edge of the stage here today, if I slip and fall off the stage, that's the will of God. The will of God. It sounds like Islam. The will of Allah. And they're always saying, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. It's already predetermined everything that's going to happen, and it's the will of God. Right or wrong, it's the will of God. So therefore, we would have to say that God orchestrates evil. We don't believe that God orchestrates evil. What happened? God gave man the control or the authority in the earth. Man fell and it come under the influence of Satan because of man's fallen nature. All of the chaos that we see in the world today is not the doing of God. It's the doing of man. We have misrepresented our authority. We have usurped the authority that God has given us, and the world is in chaos. Your life has been in chaos. And the thing that I need to pray about my life, Lord, today, your kingdom come in me. Your will be done in me today. See, he gave mankind the choice. And when he says, the kingdom of God is within you, when God lives in you, does he take over your will? Does he make you do everything right? No, he doesn't. You still have a choice. God's design is to partner with man as we live in this world, as we live in his kingdom. The Bible says that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are of a different kingdom, but we live in the kingdom of the United States of America. We live in this kingdom. We're not of this kingdom. We are of a higher kingdom called the kingdom of our God. Now, there's coming a time. The Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation. After the seventh trumpet, it says this. There's a loud voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." There's coming a time that Jesus will come back and He will subdue the kingdoms of this world and subjugate them to Himself, and He will rule and reign forever and ever. But that day's not here yet, folks. We are people, as believers, we are people of the kingdom. We need to change the way that we think about life. We need to change the way that we think about God. We need to repent and think in a different way. Just as the Jewish people were challenged to change the way that they think, we still stumble over the very same things that they do, or they did. And they still stumble over those things. Now, I want to read some scripture. I want to talk about the works of the kingdom and the attitude of the kingdom. And we're just going to let the scripture say what it says. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4 in verse 23. Now, this is right after. This is in the same scenario where Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heaven is at hand." The kingdom of the heavens is at hand. What does God desire to do? He desires to fill the heavens. He desires to reign in the heavens. He reigns in His abode. He desires to reign in the earth. But the way that He has chosen to do that is in the hearts of men. In the hearts of men. Individually. Individually, He wants to rule and reign in our hearts. But He wants to do it through a partnership with us as human beings. Let me say it another way. He wants to be involved in your everyday life. And I think one of the biggest hindrances that has happened to us as American Christians is that we have relegated Christianity to church attendance. I belong to this church and I go to church and this is my spiritual life and I go do my spiritual thing. But listen, the kingdom wants to come in your daily life. The way that you deal with people, the way that you deal with God, the way that you make decisions, the way that you conduct business, the way that you do life, it needs to be about the kingdom. It needs to be the kingdom principles. It's not about just going out and living life the way that you want to 6 days a week and come to church and be something different on Sunday. We miss the whole deal. We miss the whole thing that He's wanting to do. He's wanting to do something significant through our lives, but He will not do it without your permission. As long as we live in this day of grace, He will never do it without your permission. So we need to change the way that we think, because the kingdom is not at hand anymore. The kingdom is among us. The kingdom is within us. Don't resist the kingdom. Don't resist the kingdom in your life. Now he goes and says this in verse 28 of Matthew 4. Now Jesus went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues. He went to church. Jesus went to church. He went to synagogue. You know why He went to synagogue? Because He was a Jew. He was not a Baptist. He was not a Methodist. He was a Jew. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did He preach? The gospel of the kingdom. He didn't preach Judaism. He didn't preach denominationalism. He didn't preach non-denominationalism. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel is a lot bigger than what we do sometimes. You know, I talk to people all the time, and you know, they want to know, well, tell me about your church. Well, what they're wanting to learn about us is, what box do you fit in? What box do you fit in? We like boxes. See, we like boxes. And they'll say, well, I don't understand how you can be a church and you're not part of a denomination. You see how we have been framed to think? You're not part of a system. You're not part of a deal because, I mean, here we have, I was raised Methodist, so I'll use this one. We have our Methodists over here, then we have, and I've been in the Assemblies of God. We have Assembly of God over here, and they won't mix. Why? That's my question, why? Well, we're not this, we're Southern Baptists. That won't mix. Like it's a different kingdom, it's a different world, it's a different deal. Are we born again Methodist? Born again Pentecostal? Born again Baptist? Why do we think that way? Why don't we start thinking we're born again into the kingdom of God? We may relate to God through our upbringing, but do we exclude our Baptist brethren, our Methodist brethren, our Pentecostal brethren, our non-denominational brethren, because we cannot frame them in a way that we understand? I can't have anything to do with you. I had a guy tell me one time that he couldn't have anything to do with a church that practiced open communion. I didn't say a word. I just said, we believe in closed communion. Okay? Cool. That excludes everybody else in the kingdom that doesn't believe exactly like they do. See, Jesus said, you're going to have to change the way that you think because the kingdom is bigger than your group. The kingdom is bigger than what you're thinking. God is looking for ways to include people through Christ, the Messiah, and it has nothing to do with, at that time, their Jewish faith. The Messiah was coming to the Jewish people. And the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I just wonder sometimes if Jesus walked into our church today, would we receive him? Would we receive him? Would most of our churches in America receive him? Or would he be too controversial? Because he doesn't fit our box. Can I tell you this, honestly? I said this to some folks the other day. I don't know of any church that has 100% pure doctrine. I got a feeling that in some instances, every one of them are erroneous. There's probably error in every church and every group in the world because we don't have complete understanding. Now, there are some things that we have to wrap our orthodoxy around. But you know, every church has its own little deal that it emphasizes. Every group has its own little deal that it emphasizes. And it fixates on those one things. And many times when we fixate on one thing, we exclude a whole bunch of other things. Now, I'm not talking about, it doesn't matter how you approach God, because all ways lead to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Jesus' kingdom. I'm talking about what he came to establish. When we get to heaven, you're going to be surprised at some folks that are there. You'll think, I never expected to see you here because you did not believe right. You went to the wrong church. You were baptized the wrong way. They didn't use the right formula on you. I'm just so shocked to see you here. The kingdom is bigger than our rules and regulations, our doctrines. It's bigger, whole lot bigger. And this is what Jesus was trying to get people to do, is to change the way that you think because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And God is looking for a way to save mankind. And our rules and regulations and the things that we do many times excludes people. And what Jesus wants to do is through His blood include people. Amen. So He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now look at the work that He did. Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. See, here is what we're supposed to be about. We should be about healing. Now, I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about whole healing. The church should be about bringing wellness to the world that we live in. We should be about reaching out to make people better. Does that mean laying hands on the sick? Yes, it does. It means that. Does it mean about mental wellness? Yes, I believe the gospel of Jesus, I believe the gospel of the kingdom is healthy. Spirit, soul, and body. I believe it is. And our commission is to go into the world and bring wellness. And it begins with the spiritual part of our lives, and it works out from there. It begins there, but it works out everywhere else. And that's the message of the kingdom, that Jesus came to make us whole and complete, so that we could be participants in this kingdom. Now, we got a lot of ground to cover in this, and we're going to take a couple, 3 weeks and talk about the kingdom and what it means, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want you to get the spirit of what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about something that's a lot bigger than anything that we've ever imagined. It really is. Even in the Christian church today, if we could see what God is doing in the body of Christ, it would amaze us. And He doesn't do it all according to our prescription. He doesn't have to have our approval. To who He uses, how He uses them, or where He uses them. Because, listen, if you are born again, if you're blood bought, then you are a member of the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have church membership here. I have people say all the time, I want to be a member of your church. You know what I say? Okay, you're a member. Member of our church does not get you in the kingdom. I'll tell you that up front. We probably have people who call this their church, they're members of this church, who are probably not in the kingdom. It's the blood of Jesus that gets you into the kingdom. It's being born again that gets you into the kingdom. It has nothing to do with what we do. Although we preach the kingdom, joining our church does not ensure that you are in the kingdom. You get into the kingdom by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you get in. So it's not about what we approve or what we include or anything like that. It's something much bigger than that. And let me tell you, God uses people that I don't like. I'm just real. God uses some people I don't approve of. But you know what? That's His business. That's not my business. He does not come ask my permission. He is very capable in managing His kingdom. He uses a few flawed people. Including this one standing here. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And when we pray about the kingdom, we need to be praying about our lives. Lord, Your kingdom come in me today. Your will be done in me today. As it is in heaven, I want that kind of influence in me. You are giving God permission to work in your life. See, God doesn't make you change your mind. He doesn't make you do anything. Now, time will come where the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. There'll be no choice. That don't mean that they get saved. But it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. I can see Satan bowing his knee and saying, Jesus is Lord. And then being cast into the lake of fire. But see, you have the choice now. You have the choice to bow the knee. You have the choice to confess Him as Lord. You have the choice to let Him in. You have the choice of allowing Him to work in your heart and in your life. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Prayer team, come. We're going to open up for prayer. We're going to continue this. Come back. Hear part two, part three. But let me say this to you today, and we give this invitation every week. You may be here and realize that you're part of this church, but you're not part of the kingdom. We can remedy that right here, right now. Somebody will pray with you. They'll lead you in the confession of faith, and you can make Jesus Lord. There may be other issues in your life, whatever they are. You may need physical healing in your body. Come, they'll pray for you. They'll lay hands on you and pray for you because it's the gospel of the kingdom. You may have other issues that you need to pray for. So as we begin to pray, you feel free to come. Father, thank you so much for this message of the kingdom. Thank you for the gospel of the kingdom. It is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you for your love and your grace in our lives. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?